ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
With Wisconsin's largest nursing education program, nursing students from UWM make their presence known throughout the state, providing care at hospitals and other health facilities. But the reach of UWM's nurses does not end at the state's borders. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to meet an associate professor in UWM's College of Nursing who has taken her expertise thousands of miles to the African continent. Lucy Makandawiri Valmu was born in the country of Malawi, where the AIDS epidemic has had a devastating impact on people living there. Lucy's been helping develop programs to provide care to women who are dying of both AIDS and cancer in that country. This is a story of care and compassion and hope that started right here in Milwaukee. Lucy, welcome to today's program. We're so glad you could join us.
Thank you, Tom.
So I talked about the journey of you going back to Malawi, but your journey from Malawi started many years ago when you first came to Wisconsin.
Sure, yeah. So I came, I actually started out on the East Coast. I went to graduate school at Syracuse University, and then I came to UW-Madison to do my PhD. So after I finished is when I joined the faculty at UWM.
And your expertise, you're looking in your research, you do a lot of work around the health of women and infants.
Yes, so mostly women, but you know, it's difficult to separate women and children. And so, my research has focused mostly with rural women, but sometimes also urban women in Malawi. More recently, I've also been focusing on African American women here in Milwaukee, and it's been really great to see the parallels there and to use knowledge that I gain from one setting to inform the other.
Well, let's set the scene for our listeners about the country of Malawi. Located, as I mentioned, in Africa on the southeast coast or corner of Africa.
Yes. So we share a border with Tanzania, Zambia, and Mozambique. So we're in that area.
How big a country?
It's a small country. It's about the size of Pennsylvania. We're a population of 18 million. So while it's small, we're very heavily populated.
And still very rural and very poor.
Yes. So 85% of Malawians live in the rural area, and about 61% of Malawians are considered poor.
And so you have this expertise in nursing. You teach students here how to become nurses. What is it that drew you back to your home country on the project that we're going to be discussing today?
Yeah, so, you know, in my research with women, I've always done research with women. And, you know, throughout even my graduate studies, my dissertation was focused on women's experiences of violence in Malawi. And so, you know, in speaking with women about their experiences, I had an interest to understand. They expressed a lot of concerns about their children, particularly when they were terminally ill. And so I wanted to find out what their needs were at end of life and what we could do as healthcare providers to better support women.
I know that you've actually taken students from UWM to Malawi, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I want to, again, get a little bigger picture of healthcare services in the country of Malawi. Do they have anything comparable to what you would find here in the States or in Wisconsin?
Probably not comparable to Wisconsin, but we do have a very good public health care system. So we have a lot of auxiliary healthcare providers in the rural areas in the form of health surveillance assistants. We have a shortage of registered nurses. So the country graduates maybe 100 nurses, registered nurses every year, which, you know, for a population of 18 million is hardly enough. And so registered nurses are usually located at the district hospital you know, more as administrators and usually, you know, in labor and delivery, because we have a very high maternal mortality rate. But we do have staff at rural health centers that the registered nurses are then expected to monitor.
And so the situation that you find when you go over is one of the absence of people providing some of that highly qualified care out in the rural areas.
Yes. So when you think about, you know, a country that's very rural, it's difficult, even if you have a health center within a rural setting, it could be several miles away for women to access. So sometimes women leave home at 5 and don't get to the clinic until 9. So it might take them several hours to get to the clinic, even when they're pregnant. To give you an example, you know, we have to so much consider rurality and how that impacts women's health, such that women are required at 7 months to be at a health facility and wait at about 7 or 8 months so that they can they don't end up delivering on the road or delivering at home because they didn't get to the clinic on time.
And you say the mortality rate is very high with pregnant women.
It's considered one of the highest in the world.
Why?
I think a lot of it is access, but we also have postpartum bleeding sometimes that happens. Pregnancy-induced hypertension is also a problem for us that, you know, sometimes can be challenging. And so a lot of it really has to do with whether we have the registered nurse midwife available when a woman is giving birth. And we're trying to work with that, which is why the government has instituted the Safe Motherhood Initiative, where women are, you know, expected to come home or to come to the hospital to, you know, to deliver several weeks in advance so that they don't end up giving birth at home. And so we're managing, but as you can imagine, for people who are predominantly subsistence farmers, that can be challenging for them to leave their gardens, their fields, to leave smaller children at home, you know, to wait for several weeks at a facility. So those are some of the issues that the government is having to grapple with.
Well, let's talk about the specific project that that you're engaged in right now, which is providing care to women who are terminally ill.
Yes.
Who have contracted, as we noted earlier, AIDS is a huge issue there.
Mm-hmm.
A large percentage of the population has contracted AIDS, right?
Yes. So currently, according to the most recent Malawi Demographic Health Survey, about 6% of men are HIV infected in the country and about 11% of women. So it's gone down over the years. We're doing a lot better. Malawi actually has one of the highest success rates in controlling HIV infection and also getting people to access treatment. So people are actually living longer and we're doing really well in that regard.
But you still have women in rural areas who contract the disease, and providing care to them has been a real stumbling block.
Yes, definitely. And so one of the issues that has come up now for women, particularly who are living with HIV, is that cervical cancer is increasingly a problem. So because of, you know, cervical cancer and HIV go hand in hand. And so, but sometimes even women who are not HIV infected will also have cervical cancer. And so the mortality rate right now for cervical cancer is about 80% because women are diagnosed late. And so that affects, you know, health outcomes for women.
And that's an astounding number because here in the U.S., there's standard pap smear screening for cervical cancer.
Yes.
And there's been enormous success in battling that disease.
Yes. And so for us, screening, again, has been a problem because we have women in the rural areas. And so the government is trying to institute cervical cancer screening much better. But it's challenging. And women also are not aware that cervical cancer, that they're at risk for cervical cancer. And so we're, you know, the government is trying really hard to address that, but to ensure that women are screened. But in the meantime, we still have a very high mortality rate.
When women do contract the disease and don't get the care they have or the outcome that they had hoped for, and they're looking at end stage of their life. What sort of services are you trying to bring into those environments that right now can make their end more comforting?
Yeah, so at end of life, you know, one of the challenges again is access to healthcare. And so if women are living with HIV, it means they still have to take their antiretrovirals. If they have cervical cancer, you know, perhaps they need morphine, you know, to control their pain so that they can die with, you know, some level of dignity. And so the challenge is, you know, if a woman has cervical cancer and she has to get on a bike to travel several miles to a health facility to get morphine, you know, it can be really challenging. And so the thought is that really if we can figure out a way to get healthcare providers or health surveillance assistants visiting women more often and to get to strengthen community support within the community, that would be more desirable than what the situation that we currently have.
What sort of resources can be made available? Does the government recognize the problem?
Yes. Well, I don't know the extent to which they do. There are not a lot of studies that have looked at women at end of life that I know of. And so I'm hoping that, you know, with my colleagues here at UWM, we can publish our findings. I've been working closely with some people at Ministry of Health to talk about some of the findings based on the study that we're doing.
Do they welcome you and your colleagues from UWM when you visit Malawi?
Yes, definitely, yes. And the government of Malawi is actually very responsive, particularly to research, to evidence. And so, you know, they're very welcoming of evidence, and they're quick to incorporate evidence into the, particularly within the healthcare system. And so the uptake of evidence into interventions and into policy is very fast. And that's probably why, as a country, as a nation, we've been able to, you know, to really lower the incidence of HIV and address many of the health issues that affect Malawians. I think it would have been a lot worse, but like I said, we have a very good public health system.
So when you go over, and you do go back to Malawi regularly, you will take students, nursing students from UWM along with you.
Yes. So the last trip was actually this past January. We took about 8 students, to the area where I actually conducted the study.
So tell us, how did they react to this new world, a place that they had never been before?
They did very well. You know, I was a little bit worried because, you know, for some of them are beginning in their, you know, trajectory as nursing students. And I was a little bit concerned about how they would then, you know, be handling patients at end of life. But they did extremely well. And so they, it's a great opportunity for them to learn. It's a great opportunity for them to learn about difference. And so, you know, as you know that, you know, Wisconsin is predominantly white, yet in Milwaukee, we're very diverse. And so, you know, our nursing students are required to take care of people who are different from themselves. And so, you know, that requires some skill if you've grown up in a very homogenous environment. And so, you know, taking students to Malawi helps with that because then they're seeing people who are extremely different, you know, and they're in a country where almost everybody is black. And so they have to get accustomed to that. And then they're better able and better situated to, you know, to return to Milwaukee and be, you know, culturally safe healthcare providers, you know, the culturally safe healthcare providers that we need them to be.
Are the students ever surprised at what they see when they leave Milwaukee and spend time providing care in Malawi?
They do, yeah. A lot of them, you know, go to labor and delivery. My colleagues here, you know, we always laugh because, you know, they'll say, well, we watched a delivery on YouTube and, you know, there wasn't that much blood. So for some reason, they think in Malawi, women bleed more. I don't know. But yeah, you know, I think their vision of what, you know, what nursing care looks like is really challenged when we go to Malawi.
Do they feel more appreciative of the facilities that we do have here back in the States after a trip like that?
Yeah, well, we talk a lot about making sure that the students don't compare, you know, healthcare systems, because obviously this is a, you know, it's a very wealthy nation. Wisconsin has a lot more resources than we would in Malawi, but you know, what they do appreciate is the innovation of healthcare providers, how they work with very little, and so they learn a lot in that way. And you know, a lot of students have talked about how, you know, the technologies that we have here sometimes can hinder their capacity to really understand what's going on with the patient. And in Malawi, they learn that because they don't have a lot of technologies, you know, in terms of their healthcare and in their interactions with patients.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is the wonderful Lucy Makandawiri Valmu. She's an associate professor at College of Nursing at UWM. And I say wonderful because not only does she spend a good chunk of her time each year teaching nursing students here in Milwaukee at UWM, but on a regular basis has traveled back to her home country of Malawi, where she's helping the healthcare system do a better job of providing services to its citizens, particularly to women living in rural areas. Lucy, earlier we talked about the devastation that AIDS has had on the population and cancer, surprisingly, cervical cancer, a very, very serious problem in a country like Malawi. When you come back to your homeland, how do people view you, knowing that you came from that country, that you were born in that country, and now you're returning? Have they always welcomed you back? Has there ever been any resistance of people saying, "Well, wait a minute, you know, that's not how we do things here. You know, we're not Wisconsin. We're not Milwaukee." Has there ever been any resistance to the fact that you're coming back to try to help?
No, not necessarily. Malawi is known as the warm heart of Africa, so they tend to be very welcoming. In fact, even of our students who look different from them, and you know, often they don't see a lot of Americans in the rural communities. They tend to be very welcoming, and they're always open to ideas that we have. It's always a learning opportunity for us and the communities that we serve. We learn to be better nurses and better healthcare providers in our interactions with them.
Yeah, that's really wonderful that they appreciate your return. How about family? Do you have family still living in the country?
I do. So most of my family is still in Malawi.
And how do they feel about your return?
They tend to be very excited. In fact, many of them assist me with the study abroad program. They're very excited about students going.
So your students will meet your family when you go over?
Yes, they do. Yes.
That has to be an amazing experience, well, for you and for the students, right, to see this linkage?
Yes, I actually would not be able to run the study abroad program without my family. So they, you know, I know that if a student gets sick, if I have an urgent need, they're usually the first people I call to come and assist me.
There are certainly, and we've talked about it here the last several minutes, you know, very, very big differences between the healthcare system that we find here in Wisconsin and what you encounter when you head back home to your home country of Malawi, your country of origin. Are there any lessons that we might learn here in Milwaukee about how people care for each other in Malawi?
Yes. So one of the findings that I've one of the themes from our study is, you know, community cohesiveness. What we found was that communities that are strong tend to take better care of women and people generally at end of life, which is naturally something that you would expect. And, you know, here in Milwaukee, some of the challenges that we have, particularly in the African American community, are related to community cohesiveness. And I think for, you know, for African Americans as people of African descent, I think people of African descent generally really have that strong identity that is linked to the community and to their own people. And when that breaks down, that really has a major impact on health outcomes. And so we see that in Malawi as well. And so communities that are struggling in rural Malawi, where there's not that connection, or people are not caring about the woman in their community at end of life, it really has an impact on not only the woman, but her caregivers, which in our case, in our study, 1/3 of the caregivers were actually minors, some as young as 13 years of age. And so that impacts, you know, even the well-being of the entire community, because then it means that, you know, the girl child can't go to school, or, you know, she has to miss classes in order to perform the caregiving task. And that becomes a problem when she doesn't have the support that she needs from her community. And so my colleagues and I, and even some of my doctoral students are looking at that, how we can incorporate some of our findings from our study in Malawi to our communities here in Milwaukee.
What lessons do you think that we can learn? What does build a stronger community?
Yeah, so we found three major entities within Malawi. We have the church, the healthcare professionals, and then also community members. And so those really need to work together in a community to ensure that people at end of life are taken care of, but also that the community in general is taken care of.
When you do go into the Malawi communities, is there a big difference between what you find in the rural areas and the more urban areas, the cities, in terms of the level of support or care or community that you find?
Yeah, what was interesting to me was that you would expect that in the rural areas there would be a lot more support than in the urban areas, but actually there were some communities that were in an urban area where women said, you know, as soon as, you know, I got sick, people in my community were coming to visit. They asked me if they wanted church members to come and visit me at home because I was unable to go to church. And so, you know, we found that in urban areas.
That's really interesting, because I would think it would just be the opposite, that in a larger city, people, there's distance created with apartment building walls that I guess my conventional wisdom would say that if you're out in the rural areas, that community would be much stronger.
Right, yes. And so we found the opposite, where I think in some rural communities, particularly when they were struggling with poverty, you would find that some were really challenged in terms of cohesiveness. And so women talked about how they felt alone. And so women would say, you know, even if my neighbors come and fetch me water, even if we don't have much as a community, if they come and bathe my child or they fetch water for me, I feel valued. I feel like I'm still a human being.
Yeah, but that it's got to be very, very hard on the caregivers, especially those young caregivers, knowing that they don't necessarily have that same support system that you would find in a big American city like Milwaukee.
Yes.
Or maybe not. I'm surprised at your description, because I would have thought that that the cities there would be much more difficult to provide that personal connection.
Yes, yeah. And so, you know, even in the rural areas, some rural areas are situated. Some women were living at more of a trading center that might be considered peri-urban or so. So when I talk about, you know, urban areas, it's not necessarily an urban area like Milwaukee. But still, you know, I think what I'm trying to say is that it wasn't, you know, whether it was urban or rural that defined community cohesiveness, but it was rather the community itself and how they worked together. And so I see that even in Milwaukee, where, you know, we're situated in an urban environment, communities can work together and community members can build one another up, particularly when they're experiencing poor health outcomes, and they can work together to enhance health outcomes and to enhance the well-being of the community.
Lucy, where do you see your research going? Are you going to continue to go back to Malawi?
Yes. So right now we're looking for funding to investigate the experiences of the caregivers, especially the minors. And so that's the next phase in our study. We would like, you know, we have a great interest in ensuring that, you know, the girls cannot stop taking care of their sick mothers, you know, but we're trying to figure out ways in which the community can be better supportive so that the girls can still go to school, that they don't miss classes, so that it doesn't impact their future trajectories.
Do you ever come across those young girls who would like to be like you, who would like to leave Malawi and as you have, come and be educated in America?
I think more so they're interested in the profession of nursing. And so we do have, you know, a nursing school in Malawi, and I went to that nursing school as well for that trains registered nurses. And so a lot of this, you know, especially when they see the students, they get very excited and they also want to go to nursing school. So that's something that they aspire to.
But as you point out, they're desperately needed in Malawi. So
yes,
you would want them to be educated, but also to stay and provide service to their fellow countrymen and women.
Yes, a lot of them are very devoted to their communities. And so when they see especially how they're struggling in terms of caring for their sick family members, they want to see how they can make a difference. And I think they realize that attaining an education can enable them to make a greater difference in their communities. And so, yeah, a lot of them feel that nursing is a great path to be able to do that.
And again, seeing role models like you and the UWM nursing students come over, a great symbol of what they can become.
Definitely, yeah.
Lucy, thank you so much. Fascinating story. Congratulations on the tremendous contributions that you're making, both here in Milwaukee, teaching our nursing students, but also going back and giving back to people in your homeland of Malawi.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure to be here.
We wish you the very best going forward. Lucy Makandaweri Valmu, an associate professor at UWM's College of Nursing, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll be back next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.